I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life.
Welcome, welcome. It's so great to be with you. I'm Debbie Dashinger, and I'm a media visibility expert. I work with spiritual professionals who want to put together the puzzle of writing a page-turner book, bringing the book to guaranteed international bestseller status, and get scheduled on media interviews. I help my clients turn visibility into new customers and becoming the go-to authority in their field. I'm a certified coach. I get results. Also, a little heads up, I am accepting author applications for the new anthology book called I Am Still Here, Trials Turned into Transformation. First time and seasoned authors may apply. You can go to debbied.net/anthology. We do have people who have been signing up. It's going to be extraordinary. And just remember, Debbie has no E, so it's debbied.net/anthology. And today's thought for me is really about a reminder to inspire, to motivate, to celebrate. I think really more than ever, especially with the news of late. It's funny, you could plug this in evergreen anytime, and I bet my saying that would still read and land. The news of late being very interesting, right? We live in interesting times. So that said, it's really about inspiring ourselves and others, motivating ourselves and others, and celebrating ourselves and others, which can really be a moment thing, a simple, beautiful thing. And a little bit later, I've got Arjuna Arda here. He's released his new book, Radical Brilliance, How and Why People Have Original Life-Changing Ideas That Change the World, and How You Can Have Them Too. Why do some people have original brilliant ideas, which move the game forward for all of humanity, while others live lives of quiet imitation? What is the secret of innovation and originality? Arjuna will be here to answer those questions on Dare to Dream a little bit later on. So inspire, motivate, celebrate. How is your gratitude meter doing today? Have you taken your moments today to be still, to experience gratitude, to see what there is right now in your life, in your being, in a breath to be grateful for? You can go from awe to awesome. You can choose things to appreciate this moment. We can choose, and I love choose. I think it's one of the most powerful words, choose and decide. Shift your mindset and energy. I offer you a thought, you can come back to this throughout the day if you like a mantra, which is I offer my best life to myself and everyone in these now moments. Walter Mosley said, we are not trapped or locked up in these bones. No, no. We are free to change, and love changes us. And if we can love one another, we can break open the sky. When we come back, Arjuna Arda offers a map to investigate, to navigate the field of genius enhancement. Stay right there.
How do you comfort a grieving child? It's not easy, but the book, My Mommy is a Butterfly, facilitates the process by introducing your child to the concept of signs from the afterlife. These signs will prove to your child that their loved one is still around them and still loves them. The heartwarming story encourages your child to focus on the power of love and how it transcends death. My Mommy is a Butterfly will uplift your child with hope and resiliency. Your child will become empowered to learn that death is not only an ending, but also the beginning of a relationship where love never dies. Written by Michelle Bieber, My Mommy is a Butterfly is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Hi, my name is Arjuna Arda, and I'm the author of the new book, Radical Brilliance. Have you ever stopped to consider why Albert Einstein came up with the general theory of relativity? Emmeline Pankhurst got the vote for women, and Steve Jobs rethought the way we understand computers and cell phones, while many of us just watch in amazement and applause on the sidelines. What is it that causes some people to have original ideas which change the world? Radical Brilliance is the answer to that question, and it presents four very different kinds of subjective experience and brainwave activity which, when they come together in a human life, radically increase your chances of being brilliant. Come visit radicalbrilliance.com, where I've prepared a free 5-day mini course that explains all of the principles of your brilliant life.
Whether you're a wine novice, a wine lover, or a wine specialist, you will love directsellers.com/debswinewonders because it's sourced from boutique artisan vineyards from around the world. Give the wines as gifts for colleagues to bring to social situations or just enjoy it with family and friends. The box of wines I've been receiving from directsellers.com/debswinewonders are superb, to be frank. They take care in the wine they choose. Their in-house wine experts ensure that the members get only the best. They've been tasting and selecting wine for over 15 years. The goal with this club is to send you wine that you love. Each month, our experts select great premium wines from wineries around the globe. Your satisfaction is guaranteed at directsellers.com/debswinewonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/debswinewonders.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email at ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
Arjuna Arda is an awakening coach, writer, and public speaker, and he's here today on Dare to Dream. This is Debbie Dashinger, and Arjuna has trained more than 1,700 people to become facilitators of awakening. He's the author of 9 books, including the number one national bestseller, The Translucent Revolution, featured in O Magazine. His book, Better Than Sex, is the complete introduction to awakening coaching, and Conscious Men is co-authored with John Gray. He's been a speaker at conferences worldwide, including a recent talk at the United Nations. He's appeared on TV, radio, print media in 17 countries. And his most recent book is Radical Brilliance. You can find out more about him and his book at radicalbrilliance.com. Arjuna, welcome to Dare to Dream. It's awesome to have you here today.
Debbie, thank you so much. It's really an honor to be with you.
Yeah, talking about radical brilliance. I loved your bio and I loved researching you. And I want to reflect a minute because my take on who you be or the choices you've made is that you seem that you've lived this life that has unfolded organically, that you seem to have followed a path that's led you to some pretty incredible, extraordinary experiences. And I am just really curious what inside of you inspired you to follow a path like that?
Well, I think that's going to be a different answer, Debbie, depending on what time frame you talk about. I mean, there's the initial motivator, which goes back to when I was like 14. Mm-hmm. And then there's the more recent motivator in the last years. So shall I start with very young or shall I start more recent?
Yeah. So I already had an energy read on the start when we're really young. So I think that's fascinating. Yes, please.
Well, you know, honestly, what got me started in thinking about transformation or awakening or whatever word you, what got me started on something other than just a life of acquisition and pleasure was suffering, you know, pure and simple, straight up suffering. I was born in 1957, so only 12 years after the Second World War ended. And I was born into a family where there was an above average level of suffering. There were several suicides in my immediate family. There was mental illness. So by the time I got to be 14 in my, you know, it was in the early 70s, I realized that psychotherapy wasn't a strong enough medicine for what I was dealing with, you know, that I needed something to really powerful to explore a whole different way of living. And so that was really, I started to explore kind of spiritual practice like meditation and had some glimpses of something beyond the mind. But then pretty soon within a few years, I realized that that was only part of the equation. It was also necessary to really dive deep into the unconscious patterns that drive us and drive our motivation. So between spiritual practice and kind of radical alternative psychotherapy, I found I had to reinvent myself. I was either going to go crazy and commit suicide like some of my family members had, or I had to really thoroughly, deeply reinvent myself. So that was the original motivator. I think since that time, something else has crept in, which we could also talk about.
Ooh, so what has crept in?
Well, I think the other thing that's crept in, Debbie, and we haven't got to know each other too well yet, and I'm looking forward to that happening. But one thing I want to ask you right out the gate is, are you a parent? Have you had children?
No, I have a puppy.
A puppy. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sure this is true in the same way, you know, with having a puppy. But for me, my life changed a lot when I became a father. I've been a father to two boys. They're adults now. And there was a period where I was a single father. And I mentioned, you know, I told you already that my early life was kind of rocky, my family. So I was very committed in being a father. I was kind of terrified, actually, that I was going to mess it up. But to the degree that I was able, I was really committed to at minimum not damaging them and hopefully actually being a good father. So I remember there were times when they were growing up, you know, when they were little, that it was very intense. You know, I would pick them up from school in the afternoon. We'd go and buy food. We cooked all our food from raw ingredients. We didn't buy any kind of frozen pizza or, you know, macaroni and cheese or something. We were cooking from raw ingredients. So we'd come home, we'd cook, we'd make the breakfast for the next day. We'd do homework. We'd do packed lunches. You know, there was a lot going on. So then we'd all pile into bed, you know, at 10 p.m. Everyone was exhausted. And sometimes in the middle of the night, one of my children would wake up sick, you know, because children get sick as their immune systems become stronger. So one of my sons would wake up and calling out in the middle of the night, you know, daddy, daddy. And in that moment, when your son wakes up in the middle of the night wanting his father, you don't ask yourself, you know, how do I feel right now? What's my true calling? You know, what's authentic for me? You know, where is my gift? You know, you don't ask any of those questions. You don't ask about what's in it for me. You know, you don't ask, you know, well, is this good for my public image? You know, you don't ask any of those questions. You just jump out of the bed and you run to that little boy because he needs his dad, you know, and there's no decision-making process involved. You run because You could say because it's the right thing to do, but you don't have to think about that. You just you know what to do without even having to think. And I lived that way for many years, you know, being a father and being a pretty unconfident father. It wasn't like, oh, I'm the greatest dad in the world. I was basically motivated by being scared of messing up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So for many years I lived like that. And then when they got older, my sons didn't need me so much anymore. They became, you know, they became strong little trees on their own. But that habit was instilled in me by this time, because I learned that when you get into this flow of doing the right thing, and when you get into this flow of realizing where there's a need and filling that vacuum with something you can contribute, that is actually where the fulfillment is. And this is a strange economics, because when you try and get something for yourself, whether it's money or fame or, you know, toys or a lifestyle, when you try and get something for yourself, you may or you may not succeed. But what I've noticed is it still leaves a hole. It still leaves a hunger. But when your life becomes focused on contribution, when your motivator becomes, where can I contribute? Where is the vacuum in life that I can fill? Then, first of all, that's where real fulfillment is. That's what leaves you feeling filled up, feeling good about yourself. But mysteriously, also, the bank balance takes care of itself. If you're really contributing something of value, you don't have to worry about getting famous. People will just talk about you anyway, you know? So I think that, you know, you asked, the first motivator was suffering, but the updated motivator really was understanding what it's like to live a life of service, to live a life where you realize you have some small contribution to make and you're going to do everything you can to make that contribution.
Brilliant. Wow. So starting out at 14, suffering and a family of suicides, and then becoming a single dad parent and filling a need. It sounds very altruistic, and contribution being something of import, and to learn to live a life of service, which is pretty extraordinary turnaround. I know also that you studied with Osho, which I think is just as extraordinary. How did that come about, and what was Osho like in your life?
Actually, no, I think there's a mix up there. Now, the teacher who really turned my life around was Punjaji, H.W.L. Punja. Yeah, and he was an incredible sage, just not really a teacher. You know, he didn't have all that circus around him of being a guru. Mm-hmm. He was just a man who asked powerful questions. Yeah.
Powerful questions, powerful answers. And how long was that relationship? Or is it something that on some level is always ongoing?
It is. I lived in his house with him for 7 years on and off. And it was amazing. Yeah, it was really, really extraordinary.
I want to bring us updated to your new book, Radical Brilliance. And there are practices that you recommend. So this one I feel is very apropos, because so many people I know today talk about being out of balance, talk about being stuck in a calendar that creates a lot of overdoing, mm-hmm. and a lot of being in their head with self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Are there some radical practices that you recommend, Arjuna, that can help people come back into balance and out of the overdoing and self-doubt?
Sure. Well, let's first of all talk about self-doubt, okay? But I think, if I may, I think it would probably be helpful, if it's okay with you, if I could first just briefly explain the brilliance cycle, because a lot of these questions, I think, will fall in place if I can just briefly map out the cycle. Would that be okay for you?
Absolutely. Please
yeah.
do.
So basically, in researching this book and exploring this book, I really became interested in what is it that allows people to live a life of extraordinary fulfillment? You know, I'm not so much talking about success in the conventional sense, which is can be measured by, you know, having a bestseller or making a lot of money or whatever, or getting on a late night talk show or something. I mean, there's nothing wrong with those things. It's perfectly good. But I'm talking about really extraordinary levels of fulfillment. I mean, just where your life is just dripping magic. You're in the zone of just feeling like, oh, that you're being transported by something way beyond yourself. You know, I'm talking about Lynn Twist, who founded the Pachamama Alliance.
Oh, yes. Yes. She's been on the show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Barbara Marx Hubbard. I mean, these are not. Yeah. Lynn Twist is not thinking very much about her own promoting herself. You know, she's thinking about the Amazon rainforest. And I could give you, you know, a long list. Last night I had dinner with my friend John Gray that I wrote Conscious Men with. And John Gray is very well known. John Gray doesn't talk much about what's in it for John Gray. You know, he doesn't talk about how can he get more. He's constantly talking about the needs of people. Last night we were talking about the needs of younger people. He's continuously asking, like, where can we contribute? Where can we make a bigger difference? And so the money and the fame, it's all in the background, secondary. It's not what people that are highly fulfilled, I think, are generally, that's not their primary focus. You know, what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. So I was asking myself, you know, what is it that allows people to be extraordinarily fulfilled? I mean, you were talking earlier about gratitude. So your life is just dripping with gratitude. Somebody asked me last night, I was at this dinner with John, and somebody, as a kind of icebreaker, we were five of us at dinner, somebody said, so what is it, you know, what is it that lights your life up at the moment? You know, what is really giving you just that buzz at the moment? Somebody asked me that question. I tried to ponder it and I said, well, everything. You know, everything is amazing. Yeah. And I'm grateful for that. That's not an accomplishment. That's a blessing that's been given to you. So my question then, the question that formed this book is, what is it that allows people to live extraordinary, irrational, unreasonable lives of just way more than your mind could imagine? And the answer is this thing, the brilliance cycle. This is the best way that I can explain it. So you can imagine it like a clock. And if we explain this, then, for example, self-doubt will become much clearer. So if you imagine a clock with 12 o'clock at the top, 3 on the right, 6 at the bottom, and 9 on the left. So that makes a cycle, you know, 12, 3, 6, 9, like a clock. So we can talk about 4 movements. One movement is from 12 to 3. One is from 3 to 6. One is from 6 to 9. One is from 9 to 12. So there are 4 movements within this clock, right? Mm-hmm. So at the top, at 12 o'clock, we can talk about awakening. Awakening means any moment where your attention shifts from me to something beyond the me, something that transcends me. So in its purity, that would be where the attention is fully turned towards the nature of consciousness itself. And that doesn't have to necessarily be some kind of permanent, you know, I don't know, I mean, permanent, you know, thing. It's simply that it's possible to return to that regularly. So of course, a lot of people access that in meditation, but you could equally access it in sex, in extreme sports, in lots of ways. It's where you fully transcend yourself. So that's 12 o'clock. Now, if you just relax in that transcendental openness where there's no boundaries in consciousness, something interesting happens. There are these little tremors that start to happen, but these tremors are nothing that you decide. It's a tremor that is happening in consciousness. So you could say, if you want to get religious about it, you could say it's like a thought in the mind of God, you know, but it's not your thought. It's a tremor that you can observe happening at a very, very fine level within yourself. It's a little bit like a mystical thing. If that tremor starts to build, it becomes flow. So that now we move from 12 to 3. The movement from 12 to 3 is from the tiniest tremor to the full tsunami of creative flow at 3 o'clock. So that would be where music happens, where writing happens. It's also where inventions happen, where new companies are created, where social and political action is conceived. So 3 o'clock, you're taken over by this huge creative force, and now something is rushing through you. All of these states in the cycle have corresponding brain activity and brain chemistry that we can talk about too. The next movement from 3 to 6 is the movement from that creative flow to accomplishment or achievement or getting results. And so that's the movement from intention, which happens at 3 o'clock, which is a kind of creative thought, the movement from intention all the way through into accomplishment, into getting results. Now, can I keep going, or are we okay for time?
Yes. We're going to take a break in a few minutes, but please, I mean, I'm deep into this, so please
I'll speed it up. So at 6 o'clock now, you are fully in the driver's seat. When we were back up at 12 in Moments of Awakening, there is no me. There's no reference of a personal me. At 6 o'clock, there is fully a me, and that me is responsible and makes decisions. That me signs contracts, makes agreements, conforms to deadlines. So at 6 o'clock, there's like full incarnation. Now, one of the consequences of fully incarnating so that there is the possibility to create results is there is also choice. There is also choice and responsibility, right? At 6 o'clock, you make choices and you are responsible for the consequence of those choices. And that creates what Gregory Bateson called the double bind. Double bind means that whichever choice you make, there is going to be some element of regret. Double bind means you can't make a choice without there being some negative consequence. And we can look at examples of that later, just for time. We can come back to it if you like. But basically, that's where self-doubt happens, because at 6 o'clock, you choose A, but there's regrets about not choosing B. You choose B, there's regrets about not choosing. And it's not just regret that I didn't get what I want. There's the regret of the consequence for other people as well. We can talk more about that later. So 6 to 9 is really all about the journey into humility, which is so often lacking in our culture, which is 6 to 9 is where you learn from your mistakes. You see your mistakes, you feel regret, you feel some degree of shame. You feel sorry for mistakes you made, which are inevitable. And by the time you move around to 9, you feel humility. You're aware of your limitations. You come to recognize that what you don't know is so much bigger than what you think you know. You realize, wow. you realize you're just this little person. You're not as big and special as you thought. And, you know, realistically, a few years after your death, you'll be forgotten. You were essentially completely irrelevant to the story evolution of humanity, let alone the story of the evolution of life. So at 9 o'clock, you're fully in humility. You realize I'm nothing relative to the big force that gives me life. And now the journey from 9 to 12 is the journey back into awakening. If at 9 o'clock, if the attention is turned inward towards yourself, there is the recognition of the pure nature of consciousness. If the attention is turned out towards life and the dance of life, that's when you start to have an intuition of what people call God, some bigger creative force than your own mind. So that cycle, once we understand the cycle, that cycle basically needs to be fully active in each of its phases in order for a life to become brilliant. And self-doubt, which you just referenced, is part of that cycle.
Oh, boy, that was amazing. So we are going to head to break, but I really want to recap that the best I can, because this was, I thought, really illuminating, interesting. So 12, 3, 6, 9, as though it's a clock, and at 12, we've got transcendence, no boundaries, which creates tremors within one, an energy going out. By 3, we're at flow, which is a tsunami that opens to things like writing and inventions and music and political activism and intentions. And then we go from 3 to 6, which is heading to accomplishments, results. We are in the driver's seat. We become responsible and have choice. And therein is the element of self-doubt, because there is a double bind element of regret. We are going to talk about that more later. And then from 6 to 9 is the journey to humility, where we learn from mistakes. 9 is about being aware of limitations. And from 9 to 12 creates an awakening, the God without within. So brilliant and really thought provoking. I thank you for that. And that's a great way for us to segue, because when we come back, we will talk more about that. And how did Arjuna put this new book together? What kind of conversations did he have, and how did that change his life? You're listening to Dare to Dream Radio. Join me after the show on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Tell the world about your product or business. Advertise on Dare to Dream Radio. The award-winning program is syndicated on over 60 stations, has a big following, and large listenership. If you're ready to expand your reach, become a sponsor or advertiser on Dare to Dream Radio. Best rates, great results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com. That's ads@debbiedashinger.com.
MyBestsellerBook.com helps you self-publish and you keep all the royalties. Even if your book is already published, MyBestsellerBook.com will help you become a best-selling author. Your book will be promoted to a large global following. Enjoy a press release and book reviews. Make your next book launch bigger and better. MyBestsellerBook.com has long-term client credibility and 100% success in turning books into bestsellers. MyBestsellerBook.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness, the BARS. The BARS is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The BARS is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a BARS session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a BARS class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Debbie Dashinger's Radio Interview Mastery Program is a unique branded system that works. MediaMasteryRadio.com puts you on a fast track to grow your business and easily book interviews. Learn how at MediaMasteryRadio.com. Debbie is fiercely committed to guiding entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, healers, and business people. Learn how to leverage your radio appearances to grow your business and increase your visibility at MediaMasteryRadio.com.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, "Sorry, I'm rambling," you say, "Thank you for listening." Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
What is LinkedIn and why should you be on it? Wondering what in the world people use LinkedIn for? You will be surprised how much is available on this popular business social network. Go to www.yourconnectionconsultant.com. Did you know that 64% of all social media traffic to websites is driven by LinkedIn? Rhonda Scher, known as the LinkedIn Diva, will explain how to double your business using LinkedIn. Don't be left out. Learn how to leverage LinkedIn today. Rhonda Scher, the LinkedIn expert, is your connection consultant at www.yourconnectionconsultant.com.
Are you suffering from headaches, backaches, joint or muscle pain that's hurting your work performance? Todd Nelson is a naturopath who for 36 years has helped employees, executives, and entrepreneurs alleviate the chronic pain that kills their work performance naturally without depending on dangerous medications. In Todd's new report, No Pain Equals More Gain, he shares 6 major steps you can take today to start reducing pain and increasing performance. You can get this free report right now by going to nopainmoregain.net. That's nopainmoregain.net. Stop letting pain get in the way of your peak performance at work. Learn how to start working and living pain-free naturally right now at nopainmoregain.net.
This is Debbie Dashinger. Welcome back to Dare to Dream Radio. I am interviewing Arjuna Arda. Again, you can find him at radicalbrilliance.com. So Arjuna, your book, Radical Brilliance, culled from 15 years of experience, as well as conversations with scientists, artists, inventors, architects. Fascinating. I'd love to know more about that, who you chose and why. And then ultimately, how did this book, Radical Brilliance, change you, if it did?
Yeah. Well, I think there's a really important, thank you for the question. I think there's a really important distinction, Debbie, between choosing to dance and being danced, you know?
Yeah. Right?
So you could say, you know, that you hear some music, oh, great, let's dance. Okay, and then you dance. And now I am dancing. But there's also a way that maybe I'm sure many people have experienced, and of course the same would be true of making love, you know, that you could make love, or making love could just take you over. And then there's actually, there's not so much volition left in it. You are being moved by a current that is not volitional. It's somehow, it's a current moving through you. And really, those things like dancing and making love, they're really analogies for how your whole life can be lived. Your whole life can be danced, you know. And the book, Radical Brilliance, as you probably know, you know, it tells lots of stories of people who are danced. I mean, Lynn Twist, for example, she didn't deliberately decide to save the Amazon rainforest. She was chosen through a series of kind of weird circumstances. She was kind of chosen by something she didn't even understand to do that. And so this book happened in that way. In the summer of in May of 2016, so 2 years ago, I was involved in a very intense car accident. Where, you know, I was involved in a full-on collision at, you know, 65 miles an hour. And if you saw the car that I was driving, it was reduced to just like, it looked like a piece of paper that was crumpled up. So you'd look at that car and you'd say, there's no way that the driver survived that collision. But I'm here, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's something kind of bizarre and illogical that I'm actually here to tell the story. Mm-hmm. So after that collision, I had no broken bones, nothing. And also... I was driving in the middle lane of the freeway. So in other words, there were cars on the left and cars on the right. There was this collision. And then the next thing I knew, I was in the grass in the middle between, you know, between the two directions of traffic. I don't know how I got to the grass in the middle. So this is all very mysterious, what happened in those few seconds. But after that, I had no broken bones, but my whole body went into shock. So I couldn't be around noises. You know, I couldn't be in a moving vehicle. So I just kind of ended up in my room. My wife was away. I just spent like 6 weeks in a dark room, kind of waiting till I could deal with the world again. It's called post-traumatic stress, I think, you know, and I did a lot of things to try and heal that, but it just takes time. And during that time, which was a sort of involuntary pause, really, this model that we discussed before the break, something like a clock, this model really revealed itself to me. And it wasn't really like I chose it or did it. It really, it gave itself to me. It kind of revealed itself. And the only kind of choice I had, which was a choiceless choice, was to cooperate or not, you know?
Yes. I so understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's really a surrender to what is that is often very, at least for me, I can reflect and say it's been very uncomfortable when that happens, and certainly doesn't seem like my choice. And yet I also feel choiceless at some level. And then I go with, and it's amazing what rises up from that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that was really... that was how that book emerged, you know. And so the entire cycle that we've described, like really the whole first part of the book, which is about the cycle, really there was no volition in it. There was no doing in it. It kind of revealed itself. But then there was a process of testing this out, you know, to see if it stands, if it holds water, I suppose. And that's where there were interviews. Yeah. And so really I was interviewing, I've done 420 interviews with brilliant people. And there was constantly, not all of them since that, in that last phase, but there was constantly just a curiosity to see how much does this cycle actually turn out to be true. And the more I investigated it, the more subtle it became. It was rather like testing sacred geometry and, you know, repeatedly going, wow, 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 it really worked. You know, like everything added up. So I was able to really investigate and test whether all of this actually turns out to be accurate.
And so with all the people that you interviewed, this model, this clock model that had arisen from these 6 weeks that you were laying in darkness to heal from PTSD, you found that to a person, to a man, to a woman, that this was true in their lives?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and really, you know, it's interesting because it takes all four of those phases to be activated to really have what I mean by brilliance. Now, and so I'm using brilliance in a particular way. Some people might use the word in different ways. You could certainly be famous. You could certainly have a big impact. You could certainly be influential without all four of these phases being active. But in order to have what I mean by brilliance, it requires all four of these phases. It requires frequent immersion in emptiness or in moments of awakening. It requires the capacity to be danced, you know, for this flow to move through you. It requires the capacity to operate in the world and to be able to actually take responsibility and make decisions. And it also requires the capacity to learn from mistakes and to have humility. So, you know, one way to understand the cycle is that it's a formula for what causes brilliance. You could also flip it around and you could say that we are all of us innately brilliant. Every human being is innately brilliant. But you could say that when there is blockage anywhere in this cycle, the blockage causes an interruption of brilliance, right? So that's another way to see it. Is, as maybe you know from the book describes four kinds of blockage: addiction, aversion, aspiration, resistance, and looping. These are four styles of blockage, and all four styles of blockage apply in all four phases. So you've actually got 16 kind of measurable, recognizable kinds of blockage, and most people are displaying some characteristic of one of those 16 styles of blockage. So once we can recognize the nature of blockage and we can antidote it through practice, we find a predictable method to increase brilliance.
I really like that because as a coach with clients that I feel are brilliant, I see that this is often what gets in the way of them really being the expression that they came here to be full out.
Yeah.
At what dampers their light and often is this aversion to aspiration and the looping seems to come up quite a bit. And I love the words you're putting to it and the illustration really for me, because it's a whole new way I think of describing this phenomenon when people really desire something and really are here to do something, and yet they seem to keep hitting the ceiling and coming back down and recreating over and over again the same very frustrating experience.
Right, exactly.
And I want to bring back up, there were two things. I think we'll have time for one right now, but we'll get to both in our time together. You talked about in the clock brain activity, and that brain activity was worthy of having some conversation about. And what is that?
Yeah, sure. Well, so we've described these four phases, and these are actually four, subjectively, these four phases in the cycle are completely different subjective experiences. They feel totally different. They have totally different values, which are often opposed to each other. And the brain is in a totally different state of functioning. So let's just contrast that for a minute then, if you're interested. So at the top, we talked about awakening. So a moment of awakening is a moment where there is really no self-referencing left. There is no sense of me or I. There is actually, there's no boundaries, there's no time. A pure moment of awakening, there is actually the attention is turned completely towards the nature of consciousness itself. So that is actually associated with the neurotransmitter serotonin. And it is also characterized by a significantly reduced activity in the prefrontal cortex, and also with an increase in alpha 2 in a more synchronous way across different parts of the brain. As we move from 12 to 3, we're moving from a predominance of serotonin towards dopamine. Now, there's both serotonin and dopamine happening in 12 to 3, but by the time we get to 3 o'clock, it is primarily about dopamine. There is a relationship between dopamine secretion and receptor sites, so you could actually have more dopamine being secreted, but less sensitivity to it. And that's actually what happens at the beginning, at right after 12, in these first impulses. There's less dopamine being secreted, but extremely high receptivity, which is why very, very, very subtle impulses just after awakening can be incredibly powerful, although it's a very, very subtle thing. By the time we get to 3 o'clock, you've got lots of dopamine flowing, but reduced sensitivity, which is where, you know, it's rather like going to a rock concert, you know, where it's very loud, but you're not quite as blown away as you might be by a very, very fine violin where you're more sensitive. So basically 3 o'clock then is about dopamine, and it's about particular patterns of brainwave activity. So it's actually different parts of the brain getting switched on together. As we go on now from 3 to 6, this is the path of accomplishment. And this is where, because we're talking more about embodiment, getting down into the body, and this is all very much described in the book, we can talk about a masculine and feminine, or a male and female style of accomplishment. From 3 to 6, the more male style of accomplishment is dominated by testosterone, which is about really setting goals and pushing through obstacles. The more female style is dominated more by estrogen and oxytocin, which is more about trust and trust in other people and creating a feeling of we can do this together. But either way, as we get closer to the deadlines of 6 o'clock, of actually accomplishing things in time, we start to see a dominance of, first of all, we see a dominance of the sympathetic nervous system over the parasympathetic, which means that we're tuning out, do I need to go to the bathroom? Am I tired? Am I eyes itchy? All of that gets tuned out with a dominance of sympathetic nervous system activity. But we're also seeing the neurochemical noradrenaline, which is all about like pushing through to a boundary. Now, what happens, remember I talked to you right after six, you enter into this kind of self-doubt where you really reflect on your mistakes. Mm-hmm. What happens after accomplishing something, whether you're successful or not, there is frequently the experience of self-doubt because you get what's called parasympathetic flooding. So in sympathetic nervous system dominance, you've really been tuning out all your biological needs, but also your emotional needs. So when you accomplish something, there's some suddenly parasympathetic flooding, which means all the things you've been repressing suddenly come to the surface. Suddenly you realize I'm tired, I need to go to the bathroom, I haven't eaten, I'm thirsty. But also there's a lot of emotional needs come to the surface. You start to experience all these ways you've denied yourself, which is why after accomplishing anything, whether you're successful or unsuccessful, there can be a kind of postpartum depression where even when people do something really great and it all goes well, they still feel a kind of a down feeling. Even when you're successful, people are saying, oh, you should celebrate, but you feel nice. You feel depressed because that's the parasympathetic activity. And it's actually healthy. You know, we don't want to deny that. That's where self-doubt has a useful role to play, because then you can reflect upon mistakes. You can think about the ways you were arrogant, or that you brushed people aside, or that you didn't listen deeply enough. You can reflect upon your mistakes, and that's what causes evolution, you know? So as we move from 6 to 9, that's where we integrate learning. That's where we apologize. That's where we forgive ourselves and forgive other people. That's very, very important phase in order to be a whole human being. If you're just driven by success, 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 and you just, the thing about success is there's never enough. You know, however many books you sell, you can always sell more. However much money you make, you can always sell more. So that's an endless, bottomless pit of craving. So there has to be a way that we stop and realize, okay, what can I learn? Where did I make mistakes? I'm in surrender to something bigger than myself. Otherwise, that craving for success will never let you feel satisfied. And so as we move from 6 to 9, as the parasympathetic nervous system kicks in, we're moving into the body naturally producing GABA. So GABA is the dominant neurotransmitter at 9 o'clock. You can, of course, supplement with GABA if you want to, you know, mm-hmm. give that a helping hand. But now GABA is a healing brain chemical. It's generated at night when you sleep. If you have a really long sleep, you get more GABA. It makes you kind of groggy. And GABA gives you that feeling that everything's okay. I'm doing my best. I can kind of relax. I don't have to push for perfection in every area. It's okay to take a break. That's GABA. as your brain is repaired through GABA, it produces serotonin again, which moves you round to 12. So that's the kind of brain science behind the cycle.
Fantastic. You know, reflecting on, you've just shared so much, and I so appreciate it. As somebody who's written books myself on dreams and creating dreams, the show is called Dare to Dream. The beginning of my career as a coach, before I did other very creative things, was really about helping people create dreams. So to hear you say that is taking the premise that I know to be true and putting it in a whole new light. And I really appreciate all the different elements. It's a very holistic viewpoint all the way around the cycle of going through it. And when you were talking about, you can make love or have the love take you over, you can dance or you can have dance take you over, I was thinking about when I've done ecstatic dance, that
yes.
feeling,
there you
right?
go. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's the great divider. So I could go on a dance floor at a function and just, you know, sort of do my thing,
yeah.
or an ecstatic dance, completely to lose oneself to exactly what's happening and how the body needs to express itself.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Very powerful. So we're going to take a break. So many questions, and I'm loving this conversation. We are going to hit upon the double bind and a couple other elements that may surprise you to know about Arjuna. Subscribe to Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger. We're in so many venues. We're syndicated out there in at least 20 outlets, iTunes, Spreaker, YouTube, wherever you love to pick it up, tune in, whatever. Leave a review. Leave 5 stars in a review from your heart, because it counts and it brings other people who need this conversation to our community. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Do you love wine? Do you enjoy drinking it or sharing it? Well, maybe you know a lot about wine, maybe you don't. Thanks for entrusting me with picking and choosing the most amazing wines from all over the world and delivering them to your home or business. You will receive as few or as many bottles of wine as you like, with tasting notes in your magical box of wine, detailing the regions, the history, and even food and wine pairing. We will deliver to you the best wine in the world. So get in, get wine, get social at directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. Sit back and truly enjoy our wines, because we take great pride. We have invested a great deal of time selecting the most incredible wines from all over the world. We know you'll enjoy and want to share at directsellers.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. That's direct, CELLARS.com/Deb's Wine Wonders. Yum.
Radio sells with immediacy. Radio sells everywhere. Radio is the cost-effective medium. Go to ads@debbiedashinger.com. Reach is nice, but frequency is better. You're always on the front page with Dare to Dream Radio. It's an award-winning program syndicated on over 60 radio stations. Advertise and sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show for optimal advertising results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world, and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
If you're tuning in after we've started, this is Debbie Dashinger and Dare to Dream Radio. I'm interviewing Arjuna Arda, who is an author, speaker, founder of the Awakening Coaching Training in Nevada City, California, which is a training program dedicated to the awakening of consciousness within the context of ordinary life. Arjuna, I also, in my research, found, and I hope this is true, that you have a real story about meeting Leonard Cohen. If that's true, I may break out into hallelujah.
Well, I think you know that story pretty well because you've read the book. Yeah, the story's in the book. Yeah.
How did that happen? How did you get to know him?
It's an interesting story, actually. I actually wanted to interview Leonard for my 2005 book, The Translucent Revolution. I reached out to, because I think of him, there's a chapter in Translucent Revolution called Translucent Art, which, you know, in art in many media. And I just think of Leonard as a, you know, just incredibly brilliant, translucent man. So I reached out to his manager, Kelly Lynch at the time, to book an interview. And I kept getting these messages back. No, he can't do it. He's in, you know, he's traveling. He's in Montreal. It's Hanukkah. There were all these things, always these reasons that he couldn't do it. And then there was just silence. But then I got another message back from a young woman called Kateri. And she said, oh, I'm Leonard's new assistant. And I'd be delighted. Leonard would love to meet you. Oh, great. You know, so Kateri helped me get set up with a meeting in the Wilshire district of Los Angeles. And Kateri was wonderful. You know, she would answer my email, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, she'd answer an email, you know, it's early on a Sunday morning. It seemed like any time that I was awake, Kateri was there to answer my email. And we actually got a little flirty. I mean, I wasn't talking to her on the phone, but although I was married and I didn't know what her status was, you know, we just got a little flirty by email, like, you know, because she was just so amazing. So anyway, so finally I went down and I met Leonard, and it was an incredible, incredible time. I spent the whole afternoon with him. It is a very, very small upstairs kind of, what, you know, it was really just a upstairs apartment. It just had like 3 or 4 rooms. And we talked about 10 New Songs, which is an incredible album that came out in 2002. And we had an amazing talk that we can talk about. But the funny thing was, at the end, you know, he gave me a little guided tour of his apartment, which took about 15 seconds because it was so small. Mm-hmm. So he showed me the living room and he said, oh, this is the office. So he opened the door to the office and it was just these kind of tables that you can buy at Kmart, you know, like a plastic table with metal legs that kind of fold out from underneath. So he, you know, and on these plastic tables, there were kind of boxes piled up. So it looked like an office that wasn't really inhabited. So I said, so where does Kateri work? So Leonard said, Kateri, let me introduce you to Kateri. I thought, whoa, I'm going to meet Kateri now. So we went into the kitchen and he opened the little cupboard, you know, above the sink. He opened the cupboard and way up on the top shelf, there was a statue of a kind of Native American young woman. And he said, this is Kateri, right? And it was a statue. And then I realized, and I suddenly felt really embarrassed because he explained to me that what had happened was Kelly Lynch, who was his previous manager, actually defrauded him for like $8 million. Mm. And although she had ripped him off, he still owed money to the IRS for what she had ripped him off for. So he was in debt, you know? And he couldn't afford an assistant, so he made up this assistant called Kateri, who he kind of used as a front, so it didn't look like the emails were coming from him. So it turned out I'd been flirting with Leonard Cohen for several months. You know? So that was my Leonard Cohen story. Then we became friends, and he was a wonderful. I mean, Leonard Cohen actually exemplifies this cycle perhaps more than anybody. In moments of deep transcendence, because you know, he lived up at Mount Baldy where he did a lot of Zen meditation. And of course, the creative flow. I mean, he's, you know, he's constantly saying it's all coming through him. If it be your will that I speak no more, that my voice be still as it was before. He's constantly acknowledging this is coming through him. And then accomplishment. I mean, Leonard was very, very detail oriented. He produced his own albums. He was really, he produced 10 new songs and he produced Dear Heather in a studio in his garage. You know, so he was very, very detail oriented with very precise. And then humility. I mean, Leonard was the first person in the world to laugh about his own failings. So Leonard, perhaps more than anybody, really exemplifies all four phases of the cycle.
Gosh, I love that so much. And I love the unexpectedness of opening the office door where you might expect to see, you know, beautiful wood furniture and bookshelves of music and things. And instead, they're Kmart tables.
Yeah.
And then the statue, which is, I can imagine, embarrassing, but also hilarious. I love that he revealed that. I'm sure at some level you actually bonded forevermore.
Right.
You'd had a very yin-yang relationship there. And, you know, Arjuna, you work with people one-on-one as a coach, which I find fascinating considering the breadth of your work.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work with you? How do people work with you or get in touch with you?
Right. Well, I work with actually very few people because I work very intensively. So I really work with people who have the vision and the capacity to change the game for everybody. So I work with only, I usually work with people for like a year and it's intensive. So I help people to write books, to, you know, to create new global initiatives, to create a new company, something like that. And you can find out about that at radicalbrilliance.com. But I also, although I don't have the awakening coaching, you mentioned awakening coaching, that's actually not been active for some time. But although I don't train coaches from the beginning anymore, I do work with a group of coaches who are already professional coaches in Radical Brilliance. So we have a team of Radical Brilliance coaches that we can refer people to. And you can find out all about that at radicalbrilliance.com.
Great. So you're also always in process and transforming, clearly, as you grow your practice and who you be. I have this radical question because in your book, you suggest that social friendships and even dinner parties can be a way to enhance brilliance. And here's the rub. My birthday is at the end of this month.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. It's going to be one of those milestones. And so
you're turning 30.
Yes. Huzzah. And my friends are throwing a lovely party for me with me. And people are actually flying in and it's lovely.
Nice.
And as much as I'm really an extrovert and I really do love people and connecting and all that, at the same time that it's my party, there's a self-consciousness for me about being fully present, enjoying myself. So I would love you to tell me, how can I set about having a brilliant dinner party where I feel like brilliance is enhanced?
Yeah. Well, I think there might be two questions in there, Debbie, because I'm not sure that the formula for having a brilliant dinner party would be the best for your birthday. You know, what I love to do on a birthday is, you know, have some food and everything. And then what I love to do on a birthday is make a circle and have everybody in the circle tell the host or the birthday girl what that person most loves about you. You know, so Debbie, I love this. I love that. And then what I think is a beautiful thing, you know, because we're so used to deflecting compliments in our society, you know, so somebody says, oh, I love your, oh, you're so beautiful. And you say, oh, no, not really, you know. So it's wonderful, I think, to be able to fully drink in a compliment and say, you know, say, yes, I am. You know, so if somebody says, oh, Debbie, you're so generous with your love, you can say, yes, thank you for noticing, I am, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, a very nice ritual for a birthday party. In terms of for a brilliant dinner party, that's described in quite some detail in the book. I give the kind of whole formula for how to do that. But that's ideally done with just about six people. I don't think that would be, you know, eight would be a lot for that. And what you do with that is you have some period of eating, you know, eating together and maybe having a glass of wine. And then each person gets 5 minutes to speak about something that they're passionate about. It could be, you know, it could be a blog post. It could be a video they want to make. It could be a chapter from a book. But to speak about something in 5 minutes, you can't, you know, you can't go into too much depth. But each person gets 5 minutes to speak about something. And then the other, if you've got six people, the other five people listen. And then there's 10 minutes where those other five people can either ask questions, which would be curiosity, or can express support, which is affirmation, or they can actually be critical, which is also an important way to help people to grow. But we want to balance it out. So if there's too much criticism, it deflates. So a good ratio would be 50% questions, curiosity, 40% affirmation. Yeah, that's great. And 10%, well, I don't know. Have you thought about this? What about this? How could you afford that? So, and it is important to help people to, if you only give people affirmation, you can sometimes just be supporting dreams that have no chance of actualizing. But if you can create that balance together as a group, you know, if you can be cognizant to make sure that as a group, you're creating that 50-40-10 ratio, that can be a way to really bring forth brilliance in another person.
Well, this is amazing. So you touched me in so many places with that sharing. First of all, I feel like that was also intuitive because that's exactly what we've done. It's not actually a sit-down dinner party. This is going to be very fluid with food and wine and in a beautiful home at the beach. And this is exactly what my co-host put out, is we're going to have a time where you get to honor Debbie and her life thus far. So right. We're absolutely going to do that. And I love that piece. That's so helpful to me to follow up by saying yes, to receive, fully receive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yes. if you want to take it a step further, I'll show you how you can make it even more dangerous. So you try appreciating something about me and I'll show you how you can take it even to another step.
Oh yeah. So Arjuna, what I really appreciate about you is your passion for life, frankly, and for seeking, and then how you can take that passion and make it palatable out here, make it so articulate that it almost paints pictures of what's possible in a way that I hadn't conceived before.
Well, that's very perceptive of you. Thank you. Yes, I am passionate. And one other thing you may not know about me is I'm also a really good cook.
Huh.
So that's that's a way that you can... So when someone compliments you, you could follow it up by saying, well, that's very perceptive of you that you noticed that. And let me tell you another great thing about me as well. And, you know, people sometimes say, oh, that's the ego. That's the ego. But, you know, if we're going to use the word ego, ego just means like self-referencing. And honestly, I think that self-deprecation is more egotistical than acknowledging the beauty that was given to you by a force bigger than your own choice. So I think, you know, egotism is more associated with contraction than it is with expansion. So I think it's great to be able to acknowledge the gifts that were given, that were planted in you, to acknowledge when they're appreciated, and then to even add another one the person may not know.
I agree, because everything is energy. And when somebody has given you a statement or something from their heart, it's a gift.
Yeah.
So I think the idea is to receive it, allow it and receive it, ingest it, as opposed to resisting it, which really doesn't feel good. It's kind of wonky out here on a lot of levels. So very cool. I'm going to absolutely utilize your suggestions. I actually feel excited having heard this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you'll be a part of my birthday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Arjuna, this is Dare to Dream. What do you next dare to dream? You've put out this amazing work, seminal work right now. And I know you're doing a lot of promotion and allowing people to know what you've done and what's possible. And I hope they'll go get your book, Radical Brilliance. What do you feel is next in your heart for you to create?
Do you want the honest answer?
I always want the honest answer.
I can't imagine, it's impossible for me to imagine anything more glorious than what is already here. So it's like walking into the most incredible buffet that you that you could walk into where every possible dish is there. And then somebody says to you, so what's missing? And you go like, honestly, I can't find anything missing. So I can't dream of anything more than what is here already. But the strange thing is that in a gratitude that really brings me to my knees in awe, life just keeps getting better anyway. So I really couldn't dare to dream of anything more than what is here and the incredible opportunity I've been given to serve other people. And even though it seems like better than I could imagine already, it just keeps getting better on its own.
That touches my heart, because what you shared at the inception of this connection was the beginning of your life was filled with suffering. And to hear you say that at this present time in your life is full of sufficiency makes me so happy for you. So happy that you live that and have that energy here and let others know what's possible.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think that's really what our work is about with Radical Brilliance, not only with me, but with the other coaches. Our work is really about inviting other people to live in that way as well, to live not from wanting more, but to live in a way that is finely attuned to just how incredible life is already. And then in that overflow, in that gratitude, to look for ways to contribute. And it's actually, like we talked about earlier, it's in the contribution that you get drunk on blessing. You don't dreaming of something that's not yet here is a fancy word for desire, you know? And desire is a state of insufficiency. It's a state of I want more. And I think actually, you know, there's a way we can reframe that, because you also talked at the beginning in the introduction about gratitude, you know, if we can lean more into the gratitude and like, wow, you know, I've got so much more than most people in the world. You know, my life is so much better, so much richer in so many ways. What's the appropriate response to being the lottery winner at life? The appropriate response is sharing, not greed. The appropriate response is to share and support others and contribute. And then if I contribute to you and you contribute to me, we've got heaven. If I try to get something from you and you try to get something from me, we've got hell, you know. But if I think about how can I support you and you think about how can you support me, and then I think about how can I support all the people that I know, and they're thinking the same thing, then we've actually got the beginning of a really of a life that conforms with what we know is possible.
Well, you've absolutely been a contribution today. Thank you so much, Arjuna, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I end today's show with this Yiddish proverb. People can be divided into three groups: those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. Next on Dare to Dream, I'm featuring Jonathan Robinson as well as Christy Whitman. You want to stay around for this amazing ongoing conversation. Subscribe to my inspirational YouTube videos at youtube.com/DebOnTheRadio. And thank you again for joining us today on Dare to Dream.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com. That's www.debbi, dachinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. It's so easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change it if I want. Nothing's impossible.